Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al right here on WHKW AM 1220, The Word. And welcome you to join us tonight for another live edition here on a snowy New Year's Day here in northeastern Ohio. And it is windy and the snow is blowing. And if you're on the highways out there, keep a firm grip on the wheel. It just seems like driving in tonight several times, you get a crosswind or something across the highway and you steer into it and then it would let up and then you're having to steer back over into your lane. But if you're out there, some slippery spots coming up from Northern Summit County, it was kind of slippery earlier there, but they seem to be getting the handle on the roads. But I guess there's more snow coming, so be careful if you're out there, and you might want to try and find out some of the weather online or something and see what's coming. If you have to travel somewhere, check the weather in the morning. That'd certainly be a good thing. And check up, see what's going on with schools and things tomorrow, if your schools are going to be closed or something. But in the meantime, if you're home, stay warm and hope that you don't have any problems with the wind and the snow and everything. We got kind of spoiled here. The last month and a half has been kind of nice here. Warmer than usual and no snow, but we certainly had plenty of rain, that's for sure. 2011 closed out is probably the rainiest year on record here in Ohio, certainly in Northeast Ohio, and certainly one of the rainiest years I can remember. I think it's the most rain I've had the pleasure of experiencing since my wife and I left the Samoan Islands, where we spent 4 years as missionaries. That made this year look kind of dry, actually. But when you live in a tropical rainforest, you expect a little bit of rain. But at any rate, winter's coming at us this week, and well, we shouldn't complain too much. We've only got about another 2.5 months to go before spring will be here, and looking forward to that. But if you'd like to give us a call tonight, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word. That's the backbone of our program here. And certainly we look at just about anything going on in the world around us and questions in the Bible. And I heard coming in some kind of distressing news. They're kind of moving up the timetable in Iran in terms of their progress towards nuclear weapons. They were expecting that if the Israelis, Americans, British, whoever wants to try and stop them, they've got until about mid-March to do it, because by mid-April they would probably have acquired one or two nuclear weapons. But they were announcing on the radio and the news here earlier this evening that they have developed some preliminary things that would be stepping stones to that. They didn't expect them to have developed for another month or two. So it kind of surprised them, and it makes you wonder how things are going. But certainly when you look at the situation in the Middle East, it's very obvious that that Israel is something that rivets the world's attention, even though land-wise it's certainly less than the land of the size of New Jersey. And the Bible says that Jerusalem in itself, which is not an extremely large city, would be a burdensome stone to the nations. And it certainly is and has been, and for many years. And so we need to pray about that situation over there, keep an eye on the situation there in the Middle East and surrounding Israel in particular. But we've got other things happening around us in the world, and we've got elections coming up. The Iowa caucuses are coming up this Tuesday, And that is just seems like earlier than they have been in the past. I think they actually are earlier. And everything's going on. The latest right now, I believe it's Romney is leading right now. I think he's about 24%. And let's see, Ron Paul is coming in second at about 22%. And Rick Santorum is coming in third now at about 15%, I believe it is. And he's really surging. I can remember back in the spring when he began his campaign, people were saying, oh, you know, Rick Santorum, it's kind of a novelty campaign. He's never going to be taken seriously, and yet now he's up in the top tier now, and I guess ready to take his turn. We've seen numerous ones coming in and then dropping out for one reason or another. But our hope and prayer, and certainly at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, we have been praying all along that in this election cycle, we'd see some godly individuals elected. And even if you don't have people who are born again that are elected into public office, it would certainly be nice to have some people who are not overtly hostile to Christianity. And if you think back in the days when our country was founded and you read some studies of the founding fathers of our country, certainly by no means were all of the founding fathers born-again Christians, but a great many of them were people who believed in the idea of God and in the ideals of the Bible, Thomas Jefferson being probably chief one of those that comes to my mind right now. And we know that there have been times where even the unsaved people have had respect for God's word and respect for God's people. But unfortunately, that isn't so much the case today. I'm reminded of a legal seminar up in Ashtabula with Lighthouse Legal Ministries, which is a ministry of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Ashtabula, Ohio. And they were pointing out just this past year on how the views that we have as Bible-believing Christians used to be mainstream in this country, but they're pointing out they're no longer mainstream. And so that's to our shame that we have not really passed on our views and our beliefs and managed to keep them foremost in the minds of people in the world around us. Well, we can talk about a number of things tonight, but we'd like to hear from you and like your questions and things about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Those numbers are 888-677-9673. Call toll-free. Got our lines open, 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you tonight. And I believe we have John in Cleveland on the line tonight. John, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you tonight?
Hey, welcome. Happy New Year.
Well, I just bought my doomsday calendar.
Well, there we go. What's the doomsday calendar? Which one did you get?
I got one that's in a black box.
In a black box. Well, I'm not familiar with that one.
I haven't opened it yet.
What's that?
I haven't opened it yet.
Okay. Yeah, because I know a lot of people are worried this year about the Mayan doomsday supposedly going to happen in December. In fact, I read an article where the title of the article was something to the effect of, I sure hope the Mayans are wrong. So I think that the people are interpreting them wrong, but that's another area. So go ahead.
Well, the fact that you were talking about Iran, don't you think things could go nuclear pretty quickly?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's certainly a very real possibility, and I really do believe there are indications in the Bible of a possible battle. We've talked before in this program about Ezekiel 38 and things that take place in Ezekiel 38, but there are some indications that there's a battle that takes place prior to that, and in that battle, let me just find this real quick here. In Ezekiel, there's a passage here. It is Ezekiel 29, starting verse 9. It says, "The land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he has said, the river is mine, I have made it. Behold, therefore I am against thee and against thy rivers. I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate from the tower of Sinai, even unto the border of Ethiopia. And it says this, no foot of man shall pass through it, nor beast of or foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years, and I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and will displace or disperse them through the countries. And this has never taken place. And so that gives you the understanding that, or the idea that Egypt looks like it's going to be decimated. And if people are going to stay out of it for 40 years, that sure sounds like it could have been a nuclear attack.
Do you think anything will happen to the United States?
I absolutely do believe something's going to happen to the United States here eventually, because as we've said, the...
I remember listening to Dmitry Dudeman.
I remember that name. Years ago, I remember a program, this goes back into the 80s or the early 90s, where I think he was the guy, wasn't he the guy that predicted that either Russian or Chinese or something like that, submarines would surface off from the coast in various spots and nuke the United States? Yeah, yeah. Of course, that was supposed to happen back then, because he said that was imminent back then. There was an old program on that promoted him, and yes, that's right. That's right. It was on old station. I don't even know if it's around anymore in the Cleveland area. But as I recall, the same group, that prophecy club that was promoting him, they really bought into the Y2K. Remember that, the Y2K scare?
Yeah.
And they said, oh yeah, after 2000 hits, there's going to be martial law and nobody's going to be allowed to be on the radio. Christian radio be off the air because they won't let any dissenting opinions out. And oh, by the way, send us money, because in the year 2000, we're going to expand our buildings and expand our radio outreach. So on the one hand, they're telling us, doom, despair, and agony, and everything's going to be, under martial law. And then on the other hand, they're telling us, send us some money so that we can expand our outreach in the coming year.
Well, do you think that the things they predicted for 2000 could come true in 2012?
I'm trying to remember some of the things they predicted. They predicted a lot of stuff.
Just the things that you just mentioned.
Well, the option is always there. I mean, there's any variety of things that could strike the United States. People worry about an EMP pulse. A friend of mine was telling about a program where they were interviewing a former Iranian general, I believe it was, who had since defected to the West. And he was claiming that they had a plan that if Iran could detonate two nuclear weapons in the atmosphere, one off launched off the East Coast, one launched off the West Coast, and detonate them over the East and West Coast, respectively, that the electromagnetic pulse would devastate our electronic systems.
Do you think Russia or China has that capability?
They've had that capability since the 1950s.
Okay. But it wouldn't have to be Iran.
No. But see, the big difference with Russia and China is Russia and China are worried that we do that to them or worse. And we have systems in place. In fact, I used to tell people that the biggest purchaser and the biggest storer of vacuum tubes is the United States military. And the reason for that is vacuum tubes. Remember the old television and radio sets? You had to warm up the tubes. You turn them on, and it used to be you'd go into the drugstore and there'd be a little machine there, that you could put your tube in, check them. Well, the EMP pulse wouldn't hurt a vacuum tube. It'll hurt the transistors, the integrated circuits, things of that nature, which would, devastate our cell phones, our computer systems, and all that. The other thing with that, and of course, we've been studying it since the 50s, because they kind of discovered it with the nuclear tests in the 40s and 50s, that when a bomb goes off, it generates an electromagnetic pulse, which kind of think of it like a giant surge of static electricity hitting your phone or something, and it kind of scrambles it. And, you know, there's ways to protect against it, and some things would be more susceptible to others.
But I don't think the ordinary citizen has the vacuum tubes.
No, not anymore. A few collectors do. There was a guy that called the program a couple of weeks back, I think back in December, who collected radios, and I remember, so he probably has some. But but the thing of it is, there's what's called a Faraday cage, and that essentially is a metal shell that goes around. Best way to describe a Faraday cage is to look at your microwave. And if you look at your microwave, you notice the front of it where the glass is that you can see inside?
Yeah.
You see that kind of like honeycomb across the front of it?
Yeah.
That's a little metallic mesh. And what that does is it prevents, hopefully, the microwaves from coming out. It interferes with the wavelength. And that's what a Faraday cage is. And so, you know, you kind of wonder, a lot of houses with aluminum siding, things of that nature might have somewhat protection in them. Things that are underground, things that have a metal sheath around them. What am I thinking of? Coaxial cable. A lot of people have, like, with their cable television and things like that. The coaxial cable has, I believe, a metal sheath to prevent it from interfering with other wires and other wires from interfering with them and corrupting the signal. So and there's all these kind of things there, but it's like somebody pointed out, even if only 10% of the cars on the road died as a result of an EMP blast, how'd you like to be out there on rush hour if you had 1,000 cars on the road and 100 of them suddenly died and wouldn't run?
I take it you're not making any preparations for food or anything?
Well, I think everyone should have on hand a store of food and supplies, you know, enough to take you through at least a couple of weeks because, you know, northeastern Ohio, you know, remember back in the 70s, the big snowstorms that we had in the late 70s when the ice age was coming?
Yeah.
And there were people who were cut off in northeast Ohio for over a week. You know, they couldn't get out. They couldn't get to the store. And you know, having grown up on a small farm, I was used to, we had a root cellar. We always had canned goods. You know, my mom canned stuff, and we had a big freezer full of stuff, and we always had plenty of things, you know, stored just from that. And that's how people used to live. And I think it's wise if something happened, a lot of people, they go to the store every day. They don't have anything in their cupboards.
Right.
And how long would they last if it was just 3 days? I remember when hurricanes have gone through certain areas and people have been cut off for just 2 or 3 days and suffered because they had no food or water on hand.
Well, I still remember back in 2003, the summer, the electricity was out for 3 days.
Yes. And a lot of people...
No gas pumps working or anything.
Yeah, a lot of people had trouble. And, you know, people have a can of gas that they have for their lawnmower. Well, why not have one or two cans?
Yeah.
And then if you need... you know, absolutely get somewhere. You have a little bit of gas. You put a gallon or two in your car and get somewhere. You know, we out where we live, we have well water, and we like to joke we have mineral water straight from the tap. So we get some bottled. Well, we get we had a place that sells water 25 cents a gallon, which is kind of nice, and it's been purified and filtered and everything. And we keep a couple jugs of that on hand. You can be prepared. And I think it's a good thing to do as a Christian, because what happens if something happens and you know, your neighbor has nothing and you're now in a position you can help your neighbor out. And I think that's a good thing.
I think if people didn't have food, they'd almost become like zombies.
Well, you look at some of these cities where they've had blackouts and, you know, it just doesn't take long. People start rioting and everything like that, and you can take a few common sense precautions. It's not like you have to become a survivalist, you know, and there's also, as a Christian, there's a dependency on the Lord, you know, trusting Him that He'll help you out. I'm not saying everybody's got to have a 10-year supply of vacuum-sealed food in the basement. I mean, if you want to, that's fine, but, you know, it's you should have at least a little preparation in mind.
I'd wish you a happy new year, but I don't think it's going to be a good year.
Well, see, that's what we do. We wish it would be a good year, don't we? And there's so many things coming, and you mentioned Iran and other things happening in the world. And, you know, it's you approach it a little trepidatious, but you hope for the best. and you trust God that he'll give us opportunity to do something and to serve him in some way in the future. But with that in mind, I got another caller to get a hold of here.
Okay.
And Happy New Year nonetheless, and hopefully it'll turn out better than last year as well. Well, and thanks for that call there. And I say the best thing that we can all do to be prepared is to take care of something that everybody can take care of, and that's being sure of where you're going to spend eternity and being sure of your eternal salvation. And certainly, if you know that, then even if you thought you were going to face dying, it's not as bad because you know where you're going to be, you know what's going to happen, and you know the only fear you might have is how you're getting there. But I'm hopeful that before it gets too bad, maybe the Lord will call us out to be with him. But can't count on that. You got to do some preparation. God gives us a little heads up sometimes to think about doing some of these things. Take some common sense approach. Well, we've got another caller in, and you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. If you'd like to get on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word, and we have, I believe, George in Cleveland calling right now. And George, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, George, welcome. Good and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I had a comment on Tebow, but then I also, as you were talking to that last gentleman, had a comment that way. But, you know, I enjoy what Tebow's doing. And, you know, a lot of people between the football lines, you know, it's not the place for that. And but I thought of Legion, and I thought of the man possessed with that spirit, and I thought when he was healed of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ told him to go to his hometown and publish it, make it known to his home and friends. And what he did is he published it throughout the entire city.
Right.
And the problem with people that want to put God in the box that way is they've not known that Jesus.
I agree
and
with
you. I'm not saying I have either, but you know, I know that I could know that Jesus. And every man is bound with chains the same as this man, but they're unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And had they known that deliverance in their lives, that which is on the inside couldn't help but come out.
Right. And you're talking about Tim Tebow there, and I think a lot of the reason that people get upset with that is it makes them a little uncomfortable because they don't know the Jesus that Tim Tebow knows,
right.
And some people are uncomfortable with that, and some people don't like what it implies, quite frankly.
Oh, that could be true.
Yeah.
I never thought about
that. Yeah, because... go ahead.
Could I comment on what you were talking with this last gentleman with regards to this new year? And, you know, I have been of a mind, and maybe because I prefer not to look at supposedly what is the truth, but I would think that Satan in any day and time, in this day and time as well, would want to declare that this is my time. You know, this is the time of the end. This is the time that, well, Christians, you know, just throw up your hands, you know, I've got control. And, you know, when we have the looming problems over us, they're overwhelming, you know, with the economy, with the weather, with immigration, with terrorists. I mean, how is it that these problems can be resolved? We must be in the end times. And what is it that we as Christians can do? And I think of Sodom and Gomorrah. I think of Elijah, who is, I don't know, 4 to 6 million people, and he prayed that it might not rain. And then it goes on to say the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which would mean that basically if for example, he... say there were 6 million in Israel at that time, and there's there's 136 million in the United States now. Well, how many righteous men would it take to cover this nation? What I'm trying to say is that I think the Christians of this day and time, as in any other day and time, have great power. But if we bow to the word of Satan with regards to our authority and power in the United States, well, he's going to take territory that does not belong to him.
And let me add to that, and especially since we're coming up on the break here, Having lived outside of the United States and having lived in areas where there aren't as many born-again Christians, you can tell a difference. And it's just like a fire, you know, it has individual embers, you know, burning in the fire. And when you pull those embers apart, you know, they don't do much. But when you put them all together in a pile, they put out some pretty significant heat. And that happens with Christians because the very presence of God's people does make the devil uncomfortable. And we are called in the Bible to be salt and light in the world. And when we have that effect, you know, salt retards, you know, corruption and decay, and light also purifies and it pushes back the darkness. And if the devil can, you know, cause decay in society and cause darkness across the nation, you know, he's winning. But the more Christians there are that are serving God, trying to do the best that they can, you know, the more they're pushing back the darkness, the more they're restraining the decay that's happening in the world, and it prevents the devil from being able to do what he would like to do. And so, yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
My point, too, is that it's so simple for God.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple for God to give the solution for our economy, for immigration, for terrorism. I mean, all he has to do is work within the political structure and the men and women of them.
I got our music coming up. I have to cut you short there. Our music's coming up, and we're going into the break. And God's given us a lot of that information in the Bible guidelines if we choose to look and if we choose to apply those principles. But I appreciate that, and I want to thank you for your call and wish you a happy new year. We're coming into the break, and stick with us for the second half of our program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al right here on WHK, WAM 1220, The Word. Be with you until midnight here tonight on this New Year's Day night. And hope you're staying safe out on the highways if you're driving. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'll be giving out those phone numbers here. You can give us a call. And, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, as we said there in the break. But we're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that's State Route 82 in the center of North Royalton. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And if you'd like to contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton, you can call him at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And if you're looking for something interesting, maybe something collectible, military or old coins, jewelry, whatever it might be, give Frank at Frank's Antiques a call in North Royalton and let him know you heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, I've been talking about a variety of things here and talking about what your questions are about current events and the Bible, current events in light of the Bible and questions about the Bible. And you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe we've got Roy in Barberton up next. And Roy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, good evening. Now, welcome.
I contest the statement that America ever was a Christian country.
That America ever was?
Yes.
And what would your basis for that be?
Well, you know, a tree by the fruit it bear, and also I've studied some history in every great civilization. In fact, almost all the nations were built on rape, pillaging, and plundering.
Well, let me interrupt there for just a second there, you talked about knowing it by the fruit that they bear. You know, we have a country that has borne more good fruit than just about any other country in the history of the world. And I like how I've heard other people put it. If you woke up in the morning and you looked off your coast and you saw a warship off your coast, a Navy vessel off your coast, and it was flying the United States flag, most people would breathe a sigh of relief. America has been such a tremendous force for good. When the Jews were being booted out of Europe and persecuted by the Russians, America is the country that opened its doors to them. In country after country where they suffered from hurricanes, typhoons, earthquakes, tsunamis, America has led the charge bringing in aid and things. And then certainly America has been a tremendous force in putting the gospel out into all the world. And then, of course, America has been used greatly by God safeguard the Jewish people and help bring about the Jewish state that exists over there called Israel. And America has been a great force, and it has been a country that was initially set up on biblical principles and godly ideals. And, of course, we've departed from that, and certainly this country is going to come under the judgment of God, because to whom much is given, much is required. And so, America was a Christian country at one time. I wouldn't say that it is today. I hope and pray that it could be. Go ahead.
Okay. England.
Yes.
France.
Yes.
Spain, Italy made the same claim. But originally, if you really study history...
Yeah. Oh, let me interrupt a second.
They started out killing and dominating people. Yeah.
But America started out different than any other country. And I understand that, but America is distinctly different in its origin. The ideas and the concepts of America, America was not founded in the same way that England was, and America was not founded in the same way that Russia or Italy or any of them were. And, the Constitution that was put together in the Declaration of Independence, they all cited God. And for one thing, America was one of the first countries that had the liberty to worship God in the manner that you chose. These are things other countries didn't have. And, you know, we can go on quite a bit at that, but, you know, God was referenced in the Declaration of Independence, the division of our government into judicial and legislative and executive branches had its roots in the Bible. And, you know, I still contend that America was founded as one nation under God. And is it perfect? Has it ever made mistakes? It's not perfect. It's certainly made mistakes in the past. And my hope and prayer is that maybe in the time that we have left, we can hopefully turn America back a little bit. You know, I'm proud of my country in the sense that I think it's been a force for good in the world. And I think God has blessed this country. And I think God has a purpose for this country. But just like the Jewish people, God called them for a purpose back in the Old Testament days. And certainly God called them for a purpose and they didn't fulfill that purpose. And they come under the judgment of God. And America could as well and has in the past come under the judgment of God. For instance, when we turned against Israel and forced the dividing of the land back during President Bush's tenure, on the day that we saw to it that we forced Israel to take the people forcibly out of the Gaza Strip, as the last Israeli settler was being removed, there was a low-pressure system forming in the South Atlantic that the meteorologists all said, well, we don't think it's going to amount to anything, but if it does, we'll call it Katrina. And you can read a number of things showing, for instance, there's a good book, As America Has Done to Israel, by John P. McTernan, and you can find out more about that online or something, As America Has Done to Israel. And you can see where we have come under the chastening hand of God, and He will chasten His people. America is not a Christian country today, that's for sure, but it was at one time a Christian country. But appreciate that thought. And, you know, we have the freedom. I served in the military, and, you know, one of the reasons I serve is because I believe that we have the freedom to have consent or differing opinions. And just unfortunately, the caller and I are in disagreement on that. We would hope and pray that America would repent and turn back to God and get rid of the abortion that we have on demand and tolerate in this country, and stop pandering to the special interests of the homosexuals and the militant Islamists and things of that nature, and stop fighting against God's people and fighting against the work of God. I mean, one of the purposes of government, and I think America has come closer to this than any other country, certainly since the time of Christ, and probably before that as well. Romans chapter 13 clearly says that the minister or that the government officials are ministers of God to execute judgment upon those that do evil and to protect those that do good. Read Romans chapter 13, the first 5-6 verses there. And unfortunately, our government officials have become corrupt. And they persecute those that do evil and reward, they persecute those that do good and reward those that do evil. So as a consequence, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And that government official, whether it's a president, whether it's a governor, whether it's a mayor, whether it's a city council member, whether it's a township trustee, whether it's a civil servant, a police officer, or even a military member in as a part of the government of this country, their responsibility is to not be a terror to good works, but to evil. That's what Romans 13 chapter 13 verse 3 says. So America, flawed as it is different. I think unique and especially blessed of God, and was founded on godly Christian principles. And you can study that out. Get a hold of some materials. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think. Just start reading the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Go to patriotpost.com, I think, will get you some good information. You can go from there, read some of the writings of our founding fathers. But appreciate that call, and Some things like that kind of get me wound up a little bit, I guess. But at any rate, we'll go to our next caller here. We have Greg in Cleveland. And Greg, are you there?
Yes, sir. Hello, Pastor Allen. Happy New Year.
Hi, Happy New Year.
I like the verse where it says, happy is the man that has the Lord as God.
That's right. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, I think it is.
That's another one, yes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we live in a day where we certainly have a president that's very antagonistic to religion. Not to religion, but to Christianity. And, he avoided each time so far the National Day of Prayer, the Christian Day of Prayer, but he seems to have managed to find his way to the Muslim Day of Prayer. Well, that's a whole other road we can go down. But
I appreciate your answer to the last caller. You know, the scripture does say, speak not evil against dignitaries. And there's a trend today to speak evil of our dignitaries, but at the same time, we use the Word of God to reprove or entreat them, you know. And I appreciate your answer there about that.
And that's exactly right. We don't.
Only in our country can we go out in a public place like the county fairs and preach the gospel without hiding.
And you're absolutely right. A lot of countries and throughout history, you couldn't do that. Some of those countries have freedom today. Our caller had mentioned England, and I spent 3 years in England, and I can remember we used to hand out Bible tracts on the very spot that John Bunyan, if you're familiar with the Pilgrim's Progress, on the very spot that John Bunyan was arrested for preaching without a license. We had the freedom today to go out and hand out Bible tracts on that spot. And a lot of Christians suffered and shed their blood for England to have that right. And thankfully, when our country formed, there were enough Christians who voiced the opinion that we ought to have freedom of religion in America, that when the United States of America was formed, they introduced into the Constitution the Bill of Rights, which guaranteed the freedom of religion. And that was a direct result of the Baptists of Virginia, led by John Leland, who went to Madison, and John Leland and Madison met. There's even a park in Virginia with a sign commemorating their meeting, and out of that meeting, Leland promised the support of the Baptists if Madison would give his word that they would put religious freedoms and other rights, the right to assembly, the right to the press, and the right to free speech, these sorts of things, into the Constitution. And Madison, at that time, he was a statesman. He wasn't a politician. He was good on his word. He fulfilled his promise to Leland, and they backed the Constitution. The Constitution was ratified, and then almost immediately they introduced the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments there. And, here we are. We're a country that has right in our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, a recognition of God, and then we have in our Constitution, our governing documents, we have biblical principles, the biblical principle, for instance, of freedom of religion. And that's a wonderful thing that we have because of godly people that were influential in the founding of this country.
Another thought I had a question, but before I ask my question, I thought I'd mention that I'm sure Jesus wasn't very fond of the Roman soldiers.
Oh, yes. No. But Jesus never overthrew the Roman government.
Yeah.
And in fact, remember he told the Roman soldiers, he said, not to extract out of people more than what they were due. He didn't tell them to put down their swords and leave the army. As he recognized, in accordance with his word, God's the author of the word, and God inspired Paul to write down in Romans chapter 13 thinking of that Roman soldier, that he bears not the sword in vain. He wasn't carrying that sword around for target practice or for show. He was carrying around because that represented lethal force, and he was empowered by the government and, in effect, empowered by God. He had God's authority to exercise lethal force in the conduct of his duties, and the purpose was to protect those that do good and to go after those that do evil. Unfortunately, so many times, they go the other way around, and they're answerable to God for that.
Yeah. So I had a question.
Yes, sir.
In light of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, mm-hmm. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us."
Uh-huh.
And the Word being God.
Right.
In that verse, bringing up the point that Jesus was the flesh, that
right.
the Word. So then Jesus would be God.
Mm-hmm.
And then going over to 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And today it just seems like there's so many people confused by who's telling the truth. And I was just wondering, my question was, could a believer be deceived? We read Bible verses that say, be not deceived. And is it possible for a believer to be deceived? And that's why maybe 1 John 4 says, try the spirits, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. We think of certain religions that won't confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, which means God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to give you another verse that goes along with that, too. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, right there. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed not in the world, received up into glory. But in answer to your question, it is possible for believers to be deceived. And you can see that the book of Galatians was written to believers in Galatia who had been deceived into thinking that they needed to come under the bondage of the law. And the book of Galatians was written to them to correct them. And in fact, and you come into chapter 6, after he's gone through all of the reasoning as to why, as a believer, we're not under the law and why the law cannot save us. The law was our schoolmaster. It was a tutor. It was there to show us our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. And then after going through all of that, he cautions them in Galatians 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault..." Now, he says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Now, that "ye" means he's talking to the church, and you're talking about a church member who's getting caught up into some error, some fault. And he says the church, those that have stayed with God, that they're supposed to deal with him and then restore him in a spirit of meekness. And then it switches from "ye" with the "y," you know, "ye," which signifies a plural pronoun. Then it goes to the singular pronoun, "thyself," considering thyself, lest thou be also be tempted. So we go from the corporate church, "ye," which are spiritual, to the individual in the church, "thyself," "thou." Remember, if it starts with a "y," it's a plural pronoun. If it starts with a "th," it's a singular. Now, if you're using a modern translation that's gotten rid of the "these," the "thous," and the "yees," you would lose this. You would have God's word blunted here. You wouldn't understand what he's saying because that's taken away from your benefit. And he says the reason is we need to be careful because as we're, as a church, dealing with somebody who's overtaken in a fault, we as individuals in the church, born-again believers, we also can be tempted. And so there's a warning there to the individual members of the church, lest thou also be tempted, which means you and I could be overtaken in a fault very easily. And if we're not careful, we're one step away from stumbling. And that's why we need to be dependent on the Lord every day. And hopefully that kind of covers what you've got there a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I believe, I would say the best way to be not deceived is to keep reading the Word of God, which filters out all the error.
Well, and you're absolutely right, because that's what Paul told Timothy, and looking at the clock here, we're coming up in our last 5 minutes or so, but let me turn over here to 2 Timothy real quick, and chapter number 6, the last Oops, that's Hebrews. That's not going to work. Over here in 2 Timothy, and chapter number 6 isn't in 2 Timothy. That's over another place. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul tells Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, his appearing his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And then he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And I don't know. I think I could have just about read there and used the initials, "and shall heap to themselves teachers like Joel Osteen." In there, you know, Pete,
okay.
And I purposely said Joel Osteen because he has said that he avoids doctrine, hard doctrines, and he doesn't tell about sin and hell because he doesn't want to make people feel bad.
Yeah, doctrine's good.
Yeah, and a lot of people love to listen to Joel Osteen because he makes them feel good.
Yes.
But what are they doing? They don't want to endure sound doctrine. Yeah, I would like to think that people listen to the radio program and they say, "Wow, I like doctrine. That's the kind of church I want to go to." But let me tell you, we don't have people beating down our door trying to come to our church. Because a lot of people, really, what they really want, and I know this from people calling our church in the past saying, "Well, what programs do you have to offer? What youth programs do you have? What program for this do you have? What program for that do you have?" And they don't ask, "Well, what Bible do you use? Do you preach expository or do you preach topical?" Or do you see what I'm saying? They're not looking for sound doctrine today.
Right.
They instead turn away their ears from the truth, and they have itching ears. They want things that make them feel good. And so they turn people like Joel Osteen on, and he makes you feel good. I mean, he is a tremendous inspirational speaker. It's hard not to feel uplifted listening to him. But that's not what all Bible preaching is. I remember down at Dr. Bruce Cummins, who founded Massillon Baptist Temple many years ago, he said good gospel preaching, good Bible preaching has a positive and a negative terminal, just like a car battery. Otherwise, you don't get a charge. And so there's good things and there's difficult things, things that aren't pleasant to hear. A lot of people like to hear about heaven, but how many people really enjoy hearing about hell?
Right. I want to know what I'm saved from.
Exactly. But unfortunately, we live in that day, and what's the antidote to it? Well, in chapter 3 of the same book, 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy in verse 13, he said, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." It means there are going to be more and more of them. They're going to get worse and worse. "Deceiving and being deceived." And then he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So it's the Bible. The fundamental doctrine is that the Bible is God's word. And that's what tells us about God. That's what tells us about salvation. That's what tells us about everything that we know. It's the Bible. And thankfully, we have it preserved for us in the King James Bible here in the English language. And, there's some good sources and materials out there to help study and understand the Bible. But the best source is God himself. We need to trust Christ as our Savior and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret the scriptures for us. But Greg, appreciate that call. We're wrapping up here, and thank you for all of our callers. I think there were some we weren't able to get to tonight, and apologize for that. Hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good night, God bless, and Happy New Year.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.